Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. We're here live until 2 o'clock Central in St. Louis, Missouri. The holiday radio show, and very successful one, and I hope you enjoyed it. If you had a chance to make it out to the Sheldon Concert Hall, thank you for that. If you couldn't make it, but you listened to it on the radio, thank you for that as well. We love doing it. And I want to thank Rick for holding on in St. Louis. You've been on the line there. We had a couple of special guests pop in right when you called in. So, hey, Rick, thanks for hanging on.
You're welcome.
Rick. Yeah, Rick. It's good to hear from you. How you been?
Pretty good.
Did you get a chance to listen to the show?
Meryl and I both listened to it.
Awesome.
She listened to it out there on her radio. She holds it a certain way she could get KMOX.
Wait, is she in Arkansas? What state is she in? No.
She's in Baltimore.
Baltimore. And she hangs and holds on to her antenna just a certain way and it comes in.
Yeah, she turns it a certain way and she can get it.
That's great. Well, it's weird. Sometimes at night, it's easier to get it in the car when you're out in the open. You got the antenna or whatever. But when you're inside a house, it can get a little tricky.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah. So I'm glad she enjoyed. Hopefully, I should ask, did you guys enjoy it?
Yeah, that was great. Y'all did a good job.
Oh, thank you very much. What did you like about it?
The whole thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, the whole thing.
All of it. I think that when we put this all together, it's funny because I can give praise to Kevin Killeen. He always deflects the praise. He's so good at writing those scripts. They're hilarious. And the great ideas, original concepts, the way he puts them together, it's just a mastermind. He deserves all the credit in the world for these.
If Kevin Killeen ever leaves KMOX, they might lose a guy, may lose him. But he decides to go write bigger things, go on to bigger things. St. Louis will get a good playwright.
I would hope that he gets a shot. And that's the thing. He's wrote the books in the past, and I've read them. The last one he put out was Most Improved Sophomore. Hilarious book. Worth checking out if you get a chance.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of other ones. I think one's called Never Hug a Nun. If I get that title wrong, I think it's Never Hug a Nun. And he's wrote a couple of them as experiences, you know, a fictional character, but experiences growing up in Catholic school in St. Louis and such a big Catholic school population here. Very funny. And I was hoping just it gets into the hands of the right person. And next thing you know, Kevin's an international star. He deserves
that
it that way.
That would be great.
Yeah. Well, Rick, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you for listening.
You're welcome.
Are you going to make it out one of these years to see it live?
Well, maybe one of these days I might do it.
I would hope that you can make it out. You would enjoy it. I mean, being in the atmosphere of a live studio audience, it feels pretty awesome for all of that to happen. And
that's for sure.
And too bad, you know, every year it's not going to be a giant snowstorm like it was this year.
Well, this year was a mess.
Yeah, this year was tough.
I was going to go and try and get some stuff yesterday, but then we had that snowstorm, and I've had to postpone a gig till Friday.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm having to do certain things, and then I've got to, New Year, Christmas Eve,
uh-huh.
Christmas Day, I've got to go out and get some stuff done. Do laundry and packing and everything because I'm supposed to leave the 26th.
Oh, wow, right after. I see.
Yeah, right after Christmas.
How you getting out there? You flying?
Yes.
Okay.
I got to get up there, leave about 4 in the morning, get to the airport, and get on the plane at 5:40.
Yeah.
And get there about 9:15.
Yeah, luckily it should be fine. We had AccuWeather on yesterday, and they're saying like 50-degree weather even Christmas day after, it should be all right. Yeah, you should be good.
You know, that's for sure.
All right, Rick, good to hear from you. Thanks for listening tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
I love Rick. He's so good. Yeah, he calls in once in a while, and I always love hearing updates between him and his bride-to-be. Doug calling in. Hello.
Hi, Ryan. How's it going?
Good. Did you enjoy the holiday radio show tonight?
Well, I didn't have a chance to listen to it tonight, but I will listen to the rebroadcast Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. I always try and do that every year.
Awesome.
It's kind of like my little tradition.
Oh, it's worth it. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. They're always hilarious. I really get a kick out of them. And you're right. Kevin does a spectacular job of writing those things.
I know.
And
he's so good.
It's just amazing. He's a real talent, that guy. I love his perspective because you can tell he's from St. Louis.
Yes.
There's no two ways about it.
Well, you know, he knows the things. The little references, you're on the, you know, he's up high and you're on the bottom of the River de Pere. And then what else did he had? He had a couple of lines. He had one where, let me see if I can get it in the script here real quick. This was pretty good. Hold on. Because there's a part where Amy Mark Scores, who plays a salesman, saleswoman, I should say, was talking to Charlie Brennan, and who's the boss. Let me read this real quick. And the whole idea is your numbers are terrible. And let's see. So here's what Charlie Brennan said. It says, no, I've already told him, and she was going to team up with Chris Raby's character. I want you to have a dinner with Joe tonight so he can rescue you from this disaster. You have to get your numbers up through the end of the year or else. And then Amy says, is it that bad? Charlie says, Amy, your career is like one of those old St. Louis homes. And Amy says, oh, I love those old Victorians. And Brennan says, yes, if you're not careful, someone's going to tear you down and salvage the bricks. Yeah. Ain't that St. Louis? Yeah. Ain't that St. Louis? Tear you down and salvage the bricks. Yeah. So there's all of these great,
Right.
You know, and only someone that has lived here through the years would be able to put that together. You know, you can't fake
that. That's very true. Well, you know, to your plunger story.
Yeah.
which I think is really hilarious myself. I think it's really a kick. In my family, there's a great story that's been passed down for years, which is one of my uncles, one of my dad's brothers, at the time when he and his wife were living in a small home that didn't have indoor plumbing. Mm-hmm. So they had an outhouse. Well, one day, you know, he's outside talking to his neighbor, and my aunt was in the outhouse. Well, a wind came up and blew the thing over.
Oh, no.
And she's in there screaming, and he turns and looks at the outhouse and turns back and says to the neighbor, oh, it must have been something she ate.
Oh, no. Oh, that could be the worst time. Oh,
that's
man.
That's one of our classic family stories that we've passed around many, many times. And
yeah.
Every time it's a big laugh. You know,
it is kind of an interesting thought because not that long ago in modern history, there wasn't indoor plumbing. You know, it's not that long ago. You go back, over 100 years or whatnot, but still, a lot of places, some places just out of the. They just preferred not to have it. You talk to some of the old timers that said, no, I didn't want that in my house. You know, they just preferred.
That's right.
Many, many, many years ago, I guess.
He was a carpenter and he built his own house and he didn't work fast. I can tell.
So it wasn't one of those.
Joke. How many years will it take for Uncle Earl to finish the house? But we always had a good laugh on that one. But
like Sears mail order homes.
Oh, no. He always did his own work.
He just did.
But it was really funny. But yeah. And now one more thing I'll tell you. What John Hancock was mentioning about the piano.
Yeah.
You know, Donna would agree with that 110% because she always told me she goes, I don't mind playing these gigs on a keyboard. She goes, but I really, really would rather play it on a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And we played a gig Saturday night at a country club and she had to play on her keyboard. And she said, I just can't do what I want to do on this thing. It just won't. It just doesn't sound right on the keyboard like it does on the piano because there's certain voicings, you know, that you do on the piano and they ring out real nice, but they don't always come through on electronics, you know. And she gets frustrated with it.
Something you may actually enjoy. I don't know if you ever go on YouTube, but there are musicians on YouTube, and what they'll do is they'll play like, here's a $10,000 piano, and then we'll play like a $100 garage sale piano we found, and to see if you can tell the difference between the two of them. And I love watching videos like that. Even though I don't play, I still enjoy it. They do that for almost every instrument. They'll say, okay, here's a $1 million piano versus a $1,000 one. See if you can tell the difference between it. I love it. I don't know if you've ever checked those out.
I haven't checked that out, but I got something for you to check out on YouTube. She and I are really into jazz, but I would encourage you to go on there and find the Manhattan Transfer singing Let It Snow.
Okay. Manhattan Transfer.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I'll look them up real quick. I don't know them.
They're like a premier jazz vocal group. They've been around for years. I'm not sure if they're still active now because their one member passed away about 4 years ago, I guess
yeah.
it was.
Okay.
And he was kind of like the leader of the group. And I don't know if they replaced him and or if they just kind of just let it go. But they had many, many, many hits.
Okay.
And real popular within the musical community for sure.
Okay.
Their biggest mainstream hit was they redid the song The Boy from New York City.
Hmm.
And did a cover of that one, and just great job, of course. They also did a vocal version of the Twilight Zone theme called Twilight Tone.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. But if you're into jazz like I am, you'll love it. It's but their talent is just amazing.
Is this it here? Is that
yeah,
them?
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Since we've no place to go, let it snow,
let it snow, let it snow. Oh, man. You put that on at night.
Yeah.
Doug, man.
Now, the other one. The other,
put a pot
the other
of coffee
one, you're
on with it, too.
Of his, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and some homemade cookies. You're good. The other one you'd like a lot is their version of Santa Claus is Coming to Town. That's a real kick.
All right.
That's
I'll check fun. It out. They got a whole Christmas album, so they probably got some good ones.
Oh, yeah. The other album's fantastic. Just one. I listen to it every year. Just
oh, great.
Fun.
Well, Doug, thank you for calling in.
You bet. And Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you. Have a good night.
Bye. You too. Bye-bye.
You know, they mentioned that the Reverend Larry Rice was in the program. He was the special secret guest. And I was talking to Larry, and he's got an update on his fight with the city to try to get his homeless shelter back up. So I invited him on the show Thursday. He's going to come on and join the show with us during the 8 o'clock hour Thursday. So I'm looking forward to that. All right, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There was an interesting thing that came across. Missouri has a plan to boost teacher pay. It's going to cost about $400 million. This is a weird corner to be backed into because it's tough to say that's not a good idea for teacher pay, right? It's almost like you have to automatically say yes to it or you're looked down upon. But there's an interesting thing I want to bring up about this coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts, MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back. It's 11:22 in St. Louis, Missouri. And I hope that for the rest of the night, we can just hang out and have some fun, relax, whatever it may be. And we're going to talk a little bit about the school system. Missouri has a plan to boost teacher pay. And I saw this originally written up by St. Louis NPR, right here. NPR does it. And the plan is to take $400 million and spread it out among all the teachers in the state of Missouri. And it's an interesting plan. I want to go through some of the details of this plan. If you're a teacher in Missouri, or maybe a teacher in general, I'm thinking about like Beth down in Texas who may be listening right now. Is this a generally good idea? In the, I know that as a teacher, you're probably thinking, yes, indeed. Go ahead and give me the pay boost. I would love that. But let's go through the details, and maybe this isn't the best plan because I have a couple of reservations that I think are worth bringing up, and maybe you can tell me if there's a flaw in it. If you're a teacher, you would be the one to point out if there's a flaw. So let me go through the details on this first, but call in now, you know, 314-436-7900. If you're local here, you can call or text 436-7900 or anywhere else in the United States, wherever you may be. Wherever you may be lounging, wherever you may be driving, or whatever it is, 800-925-1120. So the idea would take $400 million to lift Missouri and raise them in the state rankings for teacher compensation. So right now, they're in the middle of the pack. And I think the strategy is, when you look across the United States, you don't want to be the state that pays their teachers the worst. And you can't afford to be the state that pays their teachers the best. It just doesn't work out that way. So how about we get close to the top, right? So what we're going to do is try to help with these rankings. And here's a big flaw in all of this. If the reason you're doing this is to say, We want to be up high whenever they do one of those polls and they'll say, okay, what states have the highest paid teachers? Then, oh, Missouri, that's great. I don't think that does much for recruiting. I think most of the teachers that are here in the state grow up in the state. I don't think a lot of teachers would go to school and then say, all right, I'm going to move my talents all the way across the country because I can get paid a little bit better there. I'm going to move away from friends and family. I just don't think it works that way. I think most of them would stay within the state itself. But I may be wrong. Radio's a different industry, man. Radio's like, man, you work here, 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 here. You talk to anyone in radio, they've worked at radio stations all across either regionally or even the United States. It's not uncommon to find someone that's worked at like 8 different stations in 8 different states. Totally, totally common in radio. I just don't see that with teachers. I don't see a teacher that's sitting in a classroom today saying that, you know, I think I'm going to move to Arkansas or I'm going to move to Texas or I'm going to move to Michigan because I can get paid more there. I just arbitrarily came up with those. I don't know if they pay better or not. But $400 million, and the plan is being presented by the State Board of Education during its monthly meeting. The proposal has 3 parts. Increase the base minimum pay for teachers from $25,000 to $32,000. Give all teachers a $4,000 raise and create a fund to entice teachers towards hard-to-fill positions. So education officials, teachers, and education associations crafted this plan. So the idea to bump the pay, and it's interesting because there's not a lot of teachers that are making the minimum. Very few teachers make 25 grand. Very few. And the reason they point that out is because you get to these extremely rural areas where there's a school and there's just not a lot of funding in something like that. So that wouldn't necessarily impact a lot of them going from, you know, 25 to 32 or whatever it is. But it makes for a good headline at least. This is the part that intrigues me the most. As opposed to saying everyone gets a $4,000 raise, why wouldn't you try to entice teachers in those hard-to-fill positions? And the reason I say that is because there's schools that need an awful lot of help, an awful lot of help. You have schools that are doing really well, some that have a lot of help. You know what you normally see in the schools that are doing really well? Well, the cities they live in have a high tax rate, not necessarily a super high tax rate, but they tax enough where they invest enough in the schools that make them these schools that, you know, people want to live in these districts. Oh, I want to get in there. It's a good school district. And that they put a lot of and pump a lot of money into it. And yes, the teachers are paid accordingly because of something like that, that helps track a lot of different teachers. So as opposed to saying, okay, we're just going to bump everyone's pay, why wouldn't you make the fund larger for the opportunity to try to improve those failing schools as opposed to just pump up the schools where they're already succeeding? Wouldn't you want to focus more attention on the worst schools? I'm just saying. So if this is where the flaw may be, because it's not an easy thing for you to stand up and say, not a good idea giving all teachers a pay raise. I'm saying there are some needs that need to be filled before you consider an across-the-board $4,000 raise for everyone. I think that's, to me, a common sense way of looking at it, but it may be flawed. I'm not a teacher. I'm not someone in the education system. I don't know the ins and outs. Maybe there's a reason that I'm not looking at this correctly. Maybe you can help explain it to me. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I guess they could scale it as opposed to giving all teachers a $4,000 raise a year. They could put that a $2,000 raise a year and they wouldn't spend as much money. Missouri has just over 70,000 public school teachers. Only a few hundred make what would be considered below 32,000, only a few hundred. So out of 70,000, a few hundred make less than 32,000. So bumping up the 25 to 32, that's not a big deal. I mean, I feel like that could be an easy thing for them to do and not spend a ton of money on. And it'd probably help a lot of these small communities pumping some extra money into there because, I mean, all things considered, they're doing all the same work too. So let's take some of your calls on this. What do you think? And, you know, are all teachers created equal? I mean, $4,000 across the board would, to me, indicate that all teachers are equal. I'm guessing there are some teachers that are more deserving. I'm just saying, or maybe I'm wrong. We'll take some of your calls coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
Now, it's Overnight America with Ryan Recker on St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and Yeah, the state of Missouri apparently considering a measure that could pump hundreds of millions of dollars into teacher pay. So we can go from the middle of the pack to the front of the pack when it comes to paying the teachers in the state. You know, it's kind of interesting. Yeah, there's some states that you would look at where the cost of living is extremely high. And Missouri isn't known as one of those states where the cost of living is extremely high. So then you have to factor into a couple of other things. And I laid those out right before we went to break. And it's tough because when you have a proposal that says we want to raise teacher pay and you say, well, actually, there's a couple of things that I want to talk about with it. You look like the bad guy for bringing that up. But it is your taxpayer money. And I do have some questions with it. I feel like I'm looking maybe at this in a simplistic way. That's why I'm hoping educators that may be listening right now or someone that knows a thing or two about it could tell me where my thinking may be flawed, or maybe they may agree with me when it comes to universally giving every teacher a $4,000 raise. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 with Scott calling in. Hi.
Hello, Mr. Recker. How are you doing?
Very good.
There's one problem with that is that they've promised that a lot before with teachers and police officers, and they've never increased the wages for those people that do the job that has to be done in the city to make the city a better place. And the problem is, I think, in my own opinion, is that a lot of people want to vote for that, and the city uses it for stuff like the trolley or going to the archway, which is fine. I mean, yeah. That's a beautiful thing. But the problem is that the city itself, you have aldermen all over the place in this city. And there's arguments about that kind of stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. Every alderman in every district of the city of St. Louis, North St. Louis, South St. Louis, whatever, you never have an agreement on what's going to happen. People are making money, and you got Kim Gardner, who will shoot everything down anyway, you know, for a crime and for stuff like that. And people keep voting for that. Mm. We've had Democrats in office when a King Slay was in office. When King Slay was in office, nothing got done at all in the city of St. Louis at all. And we're gonna take care of you. Don't worry about yourself. We'll take care of you. We will take care of you. Nothing got done. Yep. Nothing got done. And this goes back to what Donald Trump said, actually. And this is one of the best things he ever said, actually. And I'm going to say this and stick up for Donald Trump on this one point. What the hell do you have to lose by voting for somebody else who's going to try to make your life a little bit better and stick by what we have to do? Am I right or wrong about that?
Scott, I'm just curious. It's funny that you say that. Were you listening to the Dave Glover show today?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
No,
they said the same Donald Trump quote today, and I thought, I wonder if he heard that. I caught some of it when I was driving to the Sheldon concert hall.
Oh, I know. I didn't hear that. No, I'm sorry.
All right. What a coincidence.
Truth, though,
okay. Yeah.
It?
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What the hell do you have to lose by voting for someone else who could make your life better or eliminate some of the stuff that's been going on for a long time where nothing's gotten done at all?
Yeah.
Gotten. Is that a right word?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting too, Scott? I will say this, and I don't know what it's like in Missouri. It may be like this or may not. But my sister-in-law is a teacher. She went to school for it. She had a teaching job at a very small school in the middle of nowhere. And then they moved. She decided to move with her family as opposed to stay behind and live in the small town. And she found it incredibly difficult to get a full-time teaching position in the new school district she went to. She's a full-time sub. So she works basically 5 days a week subbing in the school district, but it's not like a full-time job. It's not her own classroom. So I find that there's no demand, as in they have a hard time recruiting teachers. I found that, I don't know how it's like in other cities like St. Louis, but I'm guessing there's a lot of teachers waiting for an opportunity. I don't know if it's a supply-demand issue.
Well, let me ask you this. You grew up in the Detroit area.
Yeah.
You were there in the Detroit area, and you knew when when things went bad, you understood how people moved out of there, and they left there, and they moved. It was almost like when I lived in Jennings when I was a kid, the white flight.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, my dad, we did the white flight to Afton from St. Louis. I lived in Jennings, and I loved Jennings when I was a kid. But the thing is that everybody came around. You had Blockbusters that came around. You had people buying your houses, and you had this kind of thing going on. Nothing has changed to help people get in a better situation that took over that area, you know, that live in that area now. In Jennings, if I go back to Jennings now and I see my old house, that's a horrible area. Nobody has done anything. It's basically you just keep your mouth shut. We'll take care of you. You don't talk about it at all. We will take care of you. You just keep voting for us and nothing will be wrong with you.
Okay. Interesting.
And, you know, I mean, it's just like, don't worry about it. Worry about it.
Very
It'll
good, Scott.
It'll all be good.
Hey,
okay.
Thank you for calling in. Good to hear from you.
All right. Good to hear from you, too. Bye.
All right. So Scott brings up the bigger picture, much bigger picture of what's going on in Missouri. So here's the headline. Missouri has a plan to boost teacher pay, and they're looking at a price tag about $400 million. That's a lot of money. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. There was one part of the plan. I don't know why they wouldn't just invest in this part, because this makes sense. State board members said previously that they agree low pay is a concern, but that encouraging teachers to stay in the field requires improving school culture and leadership. I think that's a big part of it. There's going to be some schools that fail in that department, and I feel like some schools would have a bigger need than others. And it's going to be tough if you got a good teacher trying to retain a good teacher into a school, that there's going to be these other districts that'll lure them out. Think about it this way. If you just up everyone's pay, okay? So you have a school district where the school pay is high, and you have a school district where the school pay is low. Everyone gets the exact same amount when it comes to a boost in their salary. Then what happens? Well, the teacher that's living in the district that has the smaller pay is always going to be looking up to the district that has the higher pay, and they're still going to have that ambition to leave. They're still going to want to go to that district because they can make more money there. It doesn't keep the teachers in the smaller or schools that need the more attention. What it does is say, okay, I still want to go because I'm still going to make more money in this other one. It's not like the extra boost of pay is going to keep them in a situation that they don't think is best for them to begin with. So maybe the money would be better spent at improving the conditions at the schools that need the improvement. Maybe the money would be better spent. Like, for example, they say they floated around $75 million fund to recruit teachers to hard-to-fill roles, such as teaching in high poverty or rural schools, or teaching subjects such as high school science or English as a second language classes for immigrants. The ones that they can't fill right now, and there is this constant, okay, we can't afford to keep this person because they're in high demand situation, then you'd be able to retain them. And ultimately, if you can keep them long term, that's going to help the school in the long run. But how discouraging is that? You're in a district, people are poor, you're poor, you're constantly buying things for students because you feel bad because some of them are coming to school, they can't wash their own clothes, don't have school supplies, can't afford food, parents don't supply these sort of things. Not the kid's fault that the parents aren't doing it. So you feel bad, you kick in, and you're not making enough to begin with. So you're thinking to yourself over and over again, I'm going to be stuck like this for the rest of my life, or I'm going to get a job somewhere else, they're just going to leave. Why don't you focus on those areas that need it the most? I mean, you could improve the lives of the teachers there, and ultimately speaking, I guess there could be some trickle down, but more important, if you improve the culture, you improve the schools, those things will have a long-term dividend. And some of these really poor areas that can't afford the different taxes or won't vote for them, or they can't pump the money in the school district, those are the ones you're going to be helping the most. And that's going to be a big plus. So I don't know. I feel when you just say overall blanket, just give everyone extra money and it'll just, everything will be okay, doesn't generally work in any industry. 314-436-7900. In particular, we're talking about your tax dollars. So this is something that's being funded through the state. So $400 million, you can now debate. Maybe we can spend some of this money in a different way that would be more effective. Maybe we need this over that. Maybe this isn't a good one. Maybe we can't afford it. Okay, you can bring those debates in. Also, 800-925-1120 on Overnight America. I'd love to hear from an educator. Look at that. No educators calling in. That's the thing. I know there's people that are involved in school districts and systems that could point out if things like this are good ideas or bad ideas. Sometimes these bills are put together and the proposals are put together, not with a everyday, you know, boots on the ground mentality. The people that are living it out, they're looking at it from, you know, 50,000 feet looking down, and they don't understand what goes on and the people that are doing it every day. So sometimes there's a disconnect there too. It's KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand and it get hot. I got a lot of, I got hairy legs that turn, that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap. And I tell you what.
I tell you what. I paid no attention to the news today. So I hop over to CBS's Newswire and I see if they got anything new on there. So tomorrow, soon to be today, which is Wednesday, House of Representatives will vote on two articles of impeachment against President Trump for allegedly abusing his powers in office. CBS News Capitol Hill producer Rebecca Kaplan has more.
We heard over the past several weeks about the quality of the evidence. Democrats feel it is airtight. Republicans feel it was not, and that it was a case largely built on hearsay. We heard arguments about whether the president actually did obstruct Congress or whether he had every right to order his associates and his cabinet members not to testify in the impeachment inquiry.
Yeah, we'll find out. But I feel like this is going to be an open, closed case. And I think we'll see that play out tomorrow. And I think President Trump put out a declaration today, or at least a statement that basically said, we'll look back at this and we'll say, you know, I guess everyone says, just wait until history goes back and looks at this. And then we'll have a pretty good view of what happened. I feel like everyone feels like it's going to side with their side. But that's the thing. We're going to see the bar lowered so low when it comes to impeachment in general that I don't think many people are going to go back and look at this in a way positively, like, yes, this was the right thing to do at this time. What a weird time to be living. So I have been paying zero attention to that today. Basically got home, went to bed, woke up, went to the holiday radio show, the rehearsal, went home, took a nap because, I mean, I only had a couple hours of sleep through the overnight, and then right back to the holiday radio show. So I've been not paying attention to anything that's in the news. There was one story that came up, and I guess this is somewhat related, not necessarily to schools, but homelessness. And this is kind of crazy. I don't know if you saw this story out of the Seattle Times. There was a director of the King County, and there's an agency for homelessness that's there. And the director's on paid leave based on what they decided to do. Now, keep in mind, paid leave, this is a agency that is funded by the government. I mean, and this director in Seattle has a salary of $123,000. This is not an entry-level position. This is someone that should know better. They had a thing, a conference, an annual conference on Monday to talk about how they're going to address homelessness in Seattle. When you get to Portland, when you get to Seattle, when you get to San Francisco, Los Angeles, all these areas that are on the West Coast that have skyrocketed their home values, people are living on the street because they just can't afford housing anywhere. The city's not taking much attention to them, not paying attention to their needs, allowing them to do that because it's the path that they decided to go on because they can't afford to house these thousands and thousands and thousands of homeless that live in these big metropolitan areas. You know, you see these instances where they are using the ground in the sidewalk as their toilet right outside of outdoor dining areas, syringes. There's some major issues of spreading disease, rodent infestation. I mean, it's not great. Crimes being committed at some of these camps once they set them up. Not all that great. So they got a lot of work to do. And it makes all the sense in the world that the city would want to help. And there's agencies out there that want to try to better this, that want to be able to make sure they can solve some of the issues or at least make it better for those that are out there seeking help. So what happens? They put this conference together, pay a lot of money. I mean, the government pays tons of money to this agency every year. Your taxpayers, by the way. And they hire a performer. Beyonce Black St. James is a dancer, transgender dancer that strips, goes topless in a sheer bodysuit, gives lap dances, and kisses attendees that are there at this local nonprofit housing conference in South Seattle. What in the world were they thinking? Now, this was a big surprise. You know, this director calls in the performer Beyonce Black St. James. There's video of this. Some people were there. They were absolutely shocked and horrified and disgusted that they would put this on at a conference for homelessness as their main entertainment. And the person's like in a leotard. There's like music videos. There's a Beyonce music video that she's in like the da-da-da-da-da-da-da ring on it, whatever it is. There's like this, it almost looks like a swimsuit. So there, it's, you know, King Kong Bundy back in the old WWF days. It looks like one of those deals, except it's, you know, double strap, not just one strap, you know, Andre the Giant style or whatever it is. So this person goes out and he would, as dressed as a woman, would lower his top so his chest is exposed, and the person would go give lap dances, kiss the people there. And you can tell they were not comfortable by this. How in the world in today's society, I know it's Seattle, I know they're so left-leaning, even there, why would they think this is something that's acceptable? It just goes to show you just how far left some people have gone, where the new normal to them is we're going to hire a transgender stripper to attend our meeting, and we're going to surprise this with everyone because, oh, why? Oh, if you got a problem with it, are you one of those anti-whatevers they want to throw a label at you? It's ridiculous. So the organization is called All Home, King County's Agency for Homeless Services, started in January of 2018. Her job could be obsolete soon enough because in Seattle and King County, they're planning to replace this altogether. Oh, what's nice is since the government funds this agency, the performer was actually paid by taxpayer money too. So the only note of this agenda was called Lunch with Cultural Presentation. No other warning, no announcement, according to a staffer who was surprised. And that's the thing. They put the pressure on you like it's your fault for finding fault in this. Like if you're at this conference and this dude dressed as a woman comes out stripping, lap dancing, kissing people, you're the one that's the problem for showing objection to it because you're intolerant. That's the type of culture that they cultivate out there. It's a problem. So when you get this sort of thing out there, the video surfaces, the entertainer, high kicks, revealing bodysuit, silver, stuff on the chest. I don't know. It made me look, even watching the video made me feel uncomfortable. I felt like if I watched the video, I was going to be flagged for the rest of my life as, you know, someone that was like, oh, you look up that stuff online at work? Huh. That's like a red flag immediately. I didn't want to be labeled or associated with looking that sort of thing up. But in the case of all of this, whatever the thresholds are of tolerance and to say that this is what the new normal is for, you have to accept, you have to tolerate, and they use that term tolerance as if it's you're the problem for objecting to something like this. Watch out for these things, all right? Watch out for these things. We better not see this leak over to St. Louis. As much as some people would like something like this to happen, you know, I don't know. In the grand scheme of things, would we trade this in for a safer culture? Like if someone said we can drop your murder rate by a third or a half in exchange for these dancers showing up at conferences, would you take it? I don't know. Culturally speaking, this whole United States is just, we got problems. Culturally speaking, not enough people are standing up and talking out against these things. Too many people accept this as a normal, as this was a conference to try to help with homelessness. This was a professional conference. I mean, that's not normal. We got to make sure we are clear in our definitions of what's right and what's wrong when it comes to that. But, you know, she's probably going to get fired. She was suspended. She made a poor lapse in judgment. I can't believe more people didn't walk out. Coming up in the next hour, I saw this one article, and it's kind of fascinating that towns in Alaska, at least one town in particular, is seeking a new owner for their newspaper, and they're really having a hard time finding people fill the position. So far, they dropped the price down so low, who can say no? Maybe you're thinking about a new career move. Maybe you're ready to move to Alaska. Maybe this is your opportunity. We'll talk about it next on Overnight America KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.